Welcome to episode 85, and this is the last weekly episode of the podcast before I start the News Isn't Funny podcast. At this point, I'm thinking I can do occasional episodes as I put together enough content. And with that, there are so many people to thank up front, especially Heather Thomas for encouraging me to actually do the podcast, along with all the visitors and guests that helped with the content in the podcast that I know you enjoyed, and especially to everyone who listened from around the world. My story started in a trash can a long time ago in a land far away, and it zigzagged from a most unique childhood in a large family of natural and adopted siblings to where we are today. This episode will, in some ways, leave some unanswered questions, and even for me, some stories left untold. Because of that, and I am thinking about doing a postscript after I've had time to reflect on the podcast. My most fervent hope is that I've met some of my goals. The primary goal was to help bring light on growing up being adopted and living through some challenging experience, both as an Asian American growing up in a time when the population of that group was sparse, and as a gay man in a world that was also unique. Secondarily, I hope to share my story for those who experience or live with PTSD and the challenges that brings to one's life. Lastly, and perhaps most importantly, I hope that the podcast helps listeners try to take some rocks out of your backpack, and as hard as it can be when adverse life experiences come your way, the best choice is to get up, dust yourself off, and move forward looking through the windshield, as we all are champions of the world. And yes, it's not easy, and sometimes it's really quite difficult. I know it has been for me, and yet it's very doable. I've been retired from the Air Force for almost 17 years, and well, actually more than 17 years, and a decade from the FDIC. My 35 years of public service were rewarding, and I had opportunities that, when I look back, I was fortunate to have been part of organizations that made our world better. That's really the whole point of public service. And with some of those trips and travel in retirement, seeing 18% of the world were experiences that I get to reminisce over and fondly remember the many places that make me smile. The past 18 months with Princess Kona have also been amazing. And well, except for the early hours we get up in the mornings. But you know what? It's all okay, because she gives me a lot of love. With all of that, like anyone, I also have regrets and have had some swings and misses. I'm pretty sure I'll have more of those in the future. And you know what they say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. In just a few weeks, I'll have another birthday as well as Kona, because ours are just a week apart. Time will march forward, and that is why I'm hoping to launch the new podcast, because it is in my view that we need more voices, not fewer. The world sometimes seems to be on fire in so many ways, and in my own country, there is incredible uncertainty and concern, and the podcast is hopefully going to be designed to make people think rather than to give an opinion about what the situation is. Because let's be fair, I'm not an expert on almost anything. So before I move on, there are two stories that I want to finish this podcast with at this point. The first is part travel suggestion and part just a good story. There was a trip that we took from Zurich to Milan and then on to Florence, and we drove through the Swiss Alps, and that was incredibly amazing. It was summer, so the roads were easily passable, and at the time, very interesting as we drove through the mountains. We did detour to hit the highest point, and it was both windy and cold. As we made our way to Italy, it was time to start looking for a place to eat, and there were some very small towns along the way with no visible restaurants. And now there's a cat sitting on my table. Finally, we come to a small town, and when I say small town, I mean from the main road, there were maybe a dozen buildings. There was a restaurant, and no matter what was discovered inside, it would be the choice for the evening. A very nice woman came over to us and spoke very broken English, and you can be 100% sure that my Italian is zero. Making educated guesses about the menu, we considered our options, and in her broken English, we figured out that there was a special for the day. Well, that sounded like a good plan. We also determined that the special of the day was something that her husband had shot that evening. So we are waiting for our food, and I'm a little bit time conscious because we do have to get to where we're staying for the night, and it did take a while for the food to come out. Finally, when it came, it was a lot of food. Nothing I could recognize, and yet there was so much food for just two people that we weren't sure if we would even be able to finish even a major part of it. And my experience is that in Europe, the food portions are smaller than in the United States, which is something that I really like. With so much food, we weren't sure how much we could really eat, and there didn't seem to be any form of unique meat, so we were a little bit confused about that as well. We ate a fair amount, but no way could we finish all of the food that was in front of us. After more time had passed, we're discussing how do we ask for the bill because she hadn't come back out after bringing us that food. And the plan was that my friend would go to the restroom and I would kindly attempt to pay, and then we would be on our way. Just as I'm about to try to figure out how to get the bill, she arrives with more food. And this time, indeed, it is a form of venison. And when I say it was a lot of food, I think it could have served six people. And remember, we had already eaten so much, which by now we figured was just the starter. We truly did our best and continually complimented the woman on the food. And she was clearly quite proud of her meal. Completely stuffed, we left and went on our way. And even though I don't know what we had a lot of it. We got to Milan, and that was an interesting place, and we were more excited to get on to Florence to see Michelangelo's David. I had seen online that there was a secret way to get immediate tickets, and without knowing when we would be there, we otherwise would have to hope for a spot within the next couple of hours to get in. That line was very long because there's people who don't have tickets and are just hoping for a spot. Anyway, so my friend stayed in line and I decided to try to find my way to this secret place. I don't remember it exactly. I do remember that I went down one road, made a turn, went down a little hill, and eventually get to a little church. Yes, a church. The instructions said to go into a door that is unmarked, and on the right side you'll find a small booth. And I actually found this little booth with maybe just 5 or 7 minutes away from the line. And sure enough, there was a woman, and I asked if I could get tickets to the Academia di Accademia. And she said, yes. How many would you like, and when do you want to go? I said, just 2 tickets, please, and as soon as we can, if that's possible. She handed me 2 tickets and said, you have a spot in 10 minutes. I paid for the tickets and, oh, by the way, there was no surcharge, and ran back up, grabbed my friend, and hurried to the front of the line, and our tickets got us right in because that was almost exactly when they were for. And it was awesome. Seeing the actual statue was pretty much amazing. I had purchased small figurines of the David when in Rome years earlier, and I bought one at the gift shop there in the museum, and that is the one that sits on a shelf in my living room. Sometimes those little tips you read about work, and sometimes they don't. This one did, and I did a quick Google search, and I didn't find the secret way that we use, and yet it still might exist. The last story that I want to share in this part of the podcast is how I decided to think about my legacy since I am getting older, and you want to have that in your mind. And you know, I don't have children, and so years ago, I wondered how to make this lasting mark. And that's when I became a philanthropist. I was always very careful with my money, and remember, I always had more than one job most of my enlisted career, and a good portion of my officer career as well. And since I was single, every month my goal was to save at least 75% of my take-home pay. And so I was fortunate in being able to build enough of a portfolio to start creating endowments. The first scholarship I endowed was named after my mentor at William & Mary, Dr. Thielen. There is also a fellowship in my name there, as well as additional more recent endowments at the University of Texas, the University of Maryland, and George Mason University. The last two named endowments are named after others. I mentioned the research endowment named after my mom at the University of Maryland in veterinary research, and recently announced a distinguished speaker series at the University of Texas named after my mentor, Lieutenant General Norm Leasy. And you heard about him earlier in the podcast. Remember that I met him as a second lieutenant when I was stationed at Osan in Korea. Later, I would have the privilege of working for him during my tour at the Pentagon many years later. He's been a mentor of mine for my entire career and was also a guest speaker at one of the dining outs at the University of Texas when I was there teaching ROTC. I was honored that he agreed to have this speaker series and public policy named after him. We're still working on an endowment in Kona's name and expanding some of the current endowments over time. In addition, you know about the important work that the Safe Haven Baby Box organization is doing and my hope to get Virginia to modify our own Safe Haven laws. And while we weren't successful this last legislative session, we're still very hopeful. Sometimes this work is as busy as real work, and most importantly, furthering higher education and public policy are passions for my own philanthropy because, in my view, both prepare students for careers that just do good for the nation and the world. Getting an education is a gift, and to be able to pay it forward is important for the next generation of learners. My message is that it doesn't have to be a lot. I had a cohort at William & Mary that came up with a really good idea. She started giving just $16.93 a month. The college was founded in 1693, and that was her way of doing something to pay it forward. Each school, except one, are institutions that I had ties to, either as a student or a faculty member. Finding your own path in philanthropy is my hope with this brief segment. Before I close, there are two trips that I took after retirement that were important for me to do. The first was to go to Long Lake to visit the grave sites of my mom and dad and sister, and then plan a trip to Ellenville, where both my maternal and paternal grandparents are laid to rest. These were a major adventure on several fronts, the main one being that, because of my PTSD, funerals and such were huge triggers for me. I couldn't even watch TV shows for a long time that had elements of death and final resting atmospheres. Well, maybe not dangerous, it was treacherous ground for me to navigate. By this time, I felt I had enough of a mental foundation to do both of these trips that were just months apart. The first was that trip to Long Lake, which is in central New York, and my sister and brother-in-law agreed to go with me, so that was actually very helpful. They were laid to rest in Long Lake, a very remote area of New York State in the Finger Lakes area, because the loss of Jean Marie back in 1959. There is a plot there for me and my brother as well, because that was the size of the family at that time. This had been the first time that I was in Long Lake since I took mom there way back in the early 1980s. I was surprised that I found the plot so quickly, and of course, a small town like Long Lake had not changed very much. The next trip was to Ellenville. Like Long Lake, Ellenville is a distance from New York City and in the foothills of the Catskill Mountains. It's not an easy drive, and I convinced my friend in New York City to go with me. From New York City, it's only about 90 miles north. I remember Grammy would take the bus from Ellenville to New York City, and so I knew it wasn't super far to go. Again, I had not been to Ellenville since Poppy passed in 1986. It is a windy and yet pretty drive up through the Catskills. As we rounded the curve off the top of the hill into Ellenville, there was Uncle Marvin's old gas station on the left and no longer in use and had not been for some time. Ellenville still only had one stoplight on Main Street with Burger King on the corner. It seemed like the town stood still. It looked much like it did from my childhood memories. The Terwilliger plot is on the left side of the road, not far into the cemetery, and the Holton plot is up a curvy hill. Like Long Lake, I left little wooden roses at each site, and I figured because, well, they would last a little longer, and thought maybe the caretakers would let them stay even longer still. After going to the cemetery, before heading back to New York City, we looked around Ellenville. I found the house my mom grew up in and that Poppy had built, and now it was a very bright blue color instead of the green color that it was from when they lived there. The giant tree on the side was gone, and the stone wall that Uncle Russ built was still there. We peered into the windows, and there was a renovation going on inside. By chance, the neighbors across the road were out and about, and I went over to chat. They had actually bought the house after Grammy passed and was indeed renovating the inside. I couldn't find the Terwilliger family home, and I did look a lot, even though I do remember the address. It's 5 Camp Street. A lot of memories stormed back, and it was a very good feeling as we walked around that small town. We sat outside in a small cafe, and we could see the mountain behind the town, and it was actually quite pretty. We chatted with the young food server and asked her, well, what was life like in Ellenville? And she said, there's not much here, and as soon as people graduate, they leave. Okay, that makes sense when you live in a very small town. It was important for me to make those trips, and I'm really still very glad that I did. In some ways, this last story brings the podcast in a full circle, and there is still a lot that I did not include in the podcast. Some because it is for others to tell. And even though I shared a fair amount of Purple Rain because it was important to do so, it is sad to say that much was left out. Those stories are just too painful. At the same time, make no mistake, there have been incredible rainbows, as you also know. I would never have guessed that the podcast would be heard in 51 countries on every continent except the obvious one, 41 states, and a total of 737 different cities around the world. I never would have imagined that it would have been heard beyond a handful of listeners. My sister still wants me to have it put into a book form, and with AI, maybe that's possible. I just don't know. I'm also looking at using AI, though, to make illustrations for another project that I'm currently in the very early stages of, writing children's books featuring Princess Kona. And for those who subscribe to your various podcasting platforms, I am pretty much sure that I'm going to do occasional updates, and we'll just see how that goes. I sincerely thank you for tuning in and sharing my journey through my life. The boy in the trash can. Well, that was a hard start to life, and I was lucky in so many ways. Coming to America was the biggest rainbow for my life. Would have been far, far different, and there's no looking back. Like I've closed out so many episodes, importantly, do your best to look through the windshield and remember Cinderella Mom's advice that I've shared throughout. Despite your own episodes of Purple Rain, have courage and be kind. Thank you for listening.